Chapter 1. London, 1817. Summer in London lay heavy on the city streets, the heat stifling and the atmosphere still and thick. As Duncan walked through Mayfair, the urge to remove his hat and loosen the pleats of his neckcloth tugged on him. But nearly 2 decades as an officer in the Queen's Own Cameron Highlanders had drilled into him the necessity of maintaining a neat, orderly appearance. Even now, in peacetime, he couldn't let go of almost 2 decades of training and discipline. As he made his way toward his destination, he noted labourers working on the front of a house. He envied the men their ability to shuck their jackets and roll up their sleeves. He envied them for more than their sartorial choices, too. They had work to accomplish, a purpose that got them out of bed each day and ensured they slept well every night. Duncan couldn't say the same about himself. Hopefully all that would change soon, which was why he now strode toward Rotherby's home. Knowing that his aimlessness would soon come to an end sped his steps. A man's shout broke the quiet.
"Watch out!"
Something crashed above him. He caught a glimpse of a piece of scaffolding shuddering loose, which made a stack of bricks atop it tumble toward the edge. The mason managed to stop most of them from falling, but one escaped his grasp. It hurtled straight at Duncan's head. He dove, the movement instinctive and smooth from years of drills, and the brick fell with a bang to the ground. When he felt reasonably certain that nothing else would tumble down, he eased to his feet to study the now shattered piece of clay. If he hadn't moved in time, it would have smashed right into his head, likely spattering his brains across the road.
"Here now," a tradesman huffed, running up. "That were a close one, but you moved like that."
He snapped his fingers, then looked at Duncan wonderingly.
"Not a scratch to be seen, given all the brushes with death I've had over the years," Duncan said. "Meeting my end on this quiet and sunlit Mayfair Avenue would have been the height of irony."
Ironic deaths were the most senseless, and if he was going to die, by God, it was going to mean something. Even so, he couldn't find a thread of fear from this close call with mortality. Having encountered death so many times, he could barely be bothered to acknowledge its presence, like seeing the same face in the taproom again and again. You nod once in its direction before resuming your ale. The war had been over for 2 years, and presumably, he should have developed stronger ties to life in that time. What did it say about him that all he could muster after nearly meeting his end was indifference? He truly needed something to motivate him. God above, he hoped what Rotherby offered was the answer.
"Suppose," the tradesman said, scratching under his cap, "I can buy ye a pint if you've worked up a thirst."
Pulling out his timepiece, Duncan consulted its face.
"May, thanks, but I've an appointment in 5 minutes, and this little dance with the devil has cost me time. Sure, whoever you're meeting don't mind if you wet your gullet first, given that you almost met old Mr. Grimm. Old Mr. Grimm and I are good friends."
Duncan returned his timepiece to his waistcoat pocket and dusted a streak of grime off the leg of his trousers.
"Just as I'm good friends with the man I'm about to meet, and if I'm late, he'll give me a roasting like a joint of beef."
He touched his fingers to the brim of his hat.
"Good day."
The rest of the journey to Rotherby's colossal mansion was blissfully uneventful, and within minutes Duncan stood beneath the columned portico and knocked smartly on the door. The butler immediately appeared.
"Major McCameron. Sames."
Duncan stepped into the vaulted entryway and handed a footman his hat. In early September, there was yet no need for a coat, and Duncan eschewed the affectation of a walking stick. He had functioning legs, didn't he?
"His grace awaits you in his study."
There was no need to show Duncan the way. He'd been to Rotherby's home countless times, as far back as when Noel had merely been Lord Clare, so he made quick work of the acres of corridors between the entryway and the study. He didn't slow his steps or pause to admire the artwork and priceless decor. As usual, though, he lifted 2 fingers in an affectionately rude salute to the portrait of Rotherby that had been painted soon after he'd inherited the dukedom. The door to the study stood open, and Duncan walked straight inside the chamber. He found Rotherby seated at his desk, staring balefully at several mounds of documents stacked in front of him. The responsibilities of...